Revelation chapter 12, first four verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The preceding verse, chapter 11, verse 19, presented the final destinations, the ends of the two ways, the outcome of two human decisions. One is the Ark of the Covenant in Christ, and the other is judgment for abuse and rejection of God's grace. The beauty and glory of our Creator's grace and holiness is revealed to the believing and faithful. Lightnings, thunders, voices, earthquakes, and great hail indicate grave consequences of following Satan's lies. After unfolding so much of God's revelation, our Lord is presenting to us another enlightenment that we can see anew, with deeper insight and clearer understanding, salvation in Christ, God's Son, and the devil's total failure. Verse 1. A great wonder appeared in heaven, a woman adorned in sun. The moon was under her feet. A crown of 12 stars was on her head. This is a great wonder indeed. In this revelation, it is just one more wonder. Which vision in the first 11 chapters was not a wonder? In Galatians 4, verses 26 to 31, the Jerusalem above is our eternal mother. All the redeemed in Christ are the free children of the free mother. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, the apostle refers to the fellowship of believers as to a chaste virgin, espoused to Christ. In Isaiah 4:1, we see all the apostate nominal religious groups seek the name only of the true husband, our Lord, just to hide their immorality and corruption. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1, our Heavenly Father refers to the nation of Judah as to the people's mother and as to his faithless, immoral wife. Our Lord speaks to his people as to his wife and her children in Hosea chapter 2. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, is a promise that the Son of Righteousness with healing shall arise to the faithful and make them victorious. The writer to the Hebrew Christians in the chapter 11 listed many faithful believers, beginning with Abel, and did not end the long list. In the verse 40, all the faithful Christians are joined to the preceding witnesses, as if perpetuating Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. This grace is given to us in Christ and on His merit. One Lord, one God the Father, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. One body, spirit, hope, faith, baptism. Is not this the teaching included in our Savior's words in Matthew 23, verse 34? Our Lord indicates one wicked generation since Cain, and one righteous generation since Abel. In Christ, we, believers, are all one. In John chapter 4, verse 22, our Savior says that salvation is of the Jews. In the physical, bodily sense, the greatest corruption and wickedness is also of the Jews. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 7 and 10. In the light of the gospel, our Lord Jesus talked to that Samaritan woman, referring to Israel, the true people of God, redeemed in Christ since Abel's time to the end. Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. The Wonder Woman vision signifies the fellowship of the faithful, redeemed in Christ before and after death and resurrection of Christ in His flesh, in His human body. In life and death, in suffering or joy, all of them are in the sunshine of Christ's righteousness and holiness. He adorned His bride in His glorious garment, His perfect righteousness. We see this woman, the wife of the Lamb, chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, chapter 21, verses 9 through 27. She is above the moon and with a 12-star crown. 12 tribes of Israel of all times, circumcised in the heart, Romans 2, verses 29 and 28. The redeemed of all ages, having their mind crowned by the living word, John 1. As that word has been witnessed in words and deeds by Christ's 12 apostles. In Numbers 10, verse 10, and chapter 28, verse 11, is the law of special offerings to the Lord in the beginning of each lunar month. That day was named the new moon. In 2 Kings, chapter 23, verse 5, and in Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 2, are some records of the moon worship. The Hebrew copied that from some Gentile nations. In this vision, Christ's righteousness keeps us above all idolatries. Our adversary has been defeated, but not eliminated altogether. When we ponder on the marvelous salvation by grace and merit of God's Son, our faith and gratitude grows and our daily walk is enriched by the fruits of His Holy Spirit. A soul filled with the light of the gospel truth, provides no room for Satan's deceit and his snares. We can see the evil influence of our enemy in the world, in the life of defeated believers, and in false religions. If we are peaceful and joyful, the devil tries to tell us that we ourselves are strong, and any suffering believer has something wrong in his or her life. If Satan convinced us to trust in our own ability, soon we fall in his snare. As we see ourselves in hardship and lack of success, the devil accuses God to us that God has forsaken us. Our Lord reveals to us that every blessing and good gift come from our Heavenly Father. This is His grace to us in Christ our Savior. Outside God's grace in Christ there is nothing good, no peace, no joy, no good progress, only misery. We cannot benefit by putting dark clouds of our disobedience between our Lord's righteousness and us. Our victory and blessedness is not in sin, not in ourselves. Our well-being is in our Redeemer only, never without Him. In Christ, our Savior and Lord, we are strong in suffering, brave in battles, wise in our choices, and forever blessed. Verses 2 through 4. The woman is travailing in childbirth and crying in pain. Another great sign appears in heaven. A great red dragon having 7 crowned heads and 10 horns. The dragon's tail drew the third part of the heavenly stars down. This dragon stands by the travailing woman, intending to devour her child as soon as he was born. 2 big signs, 2 great wonders are before us. The first one is greater than the second. Travail and pain in this vision includes the struggles of all godly women since our mother Eve. All godly mothers travailed to give birth, and also in prayers for our God's mercy that their children receive our Lord's grace for salvation and be God's light on this earth. This travail includes prayers, offerings and labor, witnessing to the truth, resisting evil, suffering persecution and martyrdom, Here are the tears, sweat, and blood of all the faithful saved by our Savior's mercy and grace since the announcement in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15, our Savior's victory, until Jude, verses 14 and 15, our Lord's final judgment. Yes, it is a great wonder. The Spirit of our God has been delivering sinners from sin and death to make them His beloved heirs of the everlasting life and eternal kingdom. The battle often was with bloodshed. The path was very steep and thorny at times. God's faithful witnesses are victorious because the Lamb's Spirit is their guide and guard. Our adversary, the master of evil and deception, rises against our Lord's wonderful work of salvation. The devil threatens the child at his birth. He did the same in Cain's heart and life. Abel entered into our Lord's glory, but Cain took upon his soul the shackles of self-condemnation. Satan used Pharaoh to murder the children in Egypt. The wicked one intended to keep the nation of Israel in slavery and poverty. Against his own will, he raised God's deliverer, because our Lord elected, preserved, trained, schooled, and called Moses to lead the people out of slavery and torture. Moses was not an independent leader. He just faithfully followed our Savior's perfect guidance. The slave owners in Egypt were slaves of Satan and darkness. The slaves in Egypt were liberated to worship their true and ever-living God. That wonder is also a part of this wonder in chapter 12, first four verses. Satan is defeated, and our Lord is victorious and glorified. In 2 Kings chapter 11, the devil destroyed the royal dynasty. They had no power for defense. God's word was their defense before they rejected His word. His grace and mercy was their deliverance. But they despised the Holy One and hurled themselves into the chasm of godlessness. But God rescued Josh, the youngest child in the royal family, and raised him under godly priesthood, secluded away from idolatry in Judah. About 7 years later, the queen Athaliah, that slave and priestess of Satan, was destroyed. Child Josh was crowned king in Judah. The family line of David remained unbroken, and the purpose of Satan was defeated again. The labor of that woman adorned in sunshine of Christ's grace continues, and the monster is defeated. That child is still on the highest throne, and his spirit works in the heart, mind, and life of his redeemed people. The dragon has 7 heads crowned with crowns, and he has 10 horns. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, is an admonishment to us to be diligent in adding to our faith virtue, vigor, and righteousness, and to grow in our understanding. In our knowledge and understanding, we are to practice temperance, self-control. The fourth quality of growing in the faith and knowledge of God's Son is patience, endurance, and steadfastness. The fifth dimension is godly reverence and piety with true devotions to our Father's good pleasure. Brotherly kindness and affection follow. Charity, love of our Lord and Savior, is the 7th jewel from the treasures of our Lord's grace. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom has built her house with 7 pillars. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 19, our Lord speaks against the king of Babylon and compares him with Satan personally. Contrary to the Spirit of Christ, Lucifer is lusting for self-exaltation. Satan is opposing our Lord Jesus in every opportunity because the devil is in rebellion against our Heavenly Father, and our Savior delights to please the Father. Ever since the evil one deceived the first people, he is laboring in his wickedness. God said to Adam not to eat of the tree. Satan told Eve that the fruit is very desirable to get wise. Our Savior's words in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 7 are for our guidance. The first talent to be added to our faith is virtue. We can suppose that the first head of the dragon could be corruption to add to the rebellion. The second talent is knowledge, good understanding. The enemy will offer ignorance and foolishness. Our Lord gives self-control. The devil tries to ignite wrath and fury. Our Master gives example of patience and endurance. Our adversary would make us feel that our burdens are unbearable and last too long a time. Our Father cultivates us to be godly. Satan is falsely presenting godlessness as our right and enjoyment. Our Father delights in our kindness. Satan is accuser, creating grudge and discord. Charity and brotherly love is God's precious talent. Satan is full of greed, cruelty. We can then visualize the rebellious monster with seven heads: corruption, foolish ignorance, furious wrath, aimless irresolution, idolatry, blasphemy, murders. Obviously, all the seven crowns are made of fake gold. In Genesis 19, our Lord's angels urge Lot to accept divine deliverance. And in the verse 17, they stress, "Flee to the mountain, lest you perish." But the devil replied, "Oh no, this small city is better." So, one way or another, the whole family was lost. Satan failed again. Only those he managed to persuade perish and confirm his own, Satan's own doom in the end. Abraham the faithful pleads with the Lord for the deliverance of his nephew and the family. Abraham appeals to God's justice and mercy for the others, and our Lord preserves Abraham. Herod cruelly murdered all the small children in and around Bethlehem, all but one, the one he lusted to see dead. The devil is trying the same until now, as the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested and the gospel preaching spreads in the bloody Jerusalem. The local and provincial rulers attacked the new church in her infancy. Again, the enemy failed. The Lamb's power in suffering in his body, the church, is stronger than the wrath of Christ's defeated enemy. In Christ, we are safe. As soon as a sinner senses the light of the gospel truth, as soon as some slight traces of a new life are noticed in his or her daily walk, Satan will stir up his hordes of evil spirits to destroy this unborn child of our Father. In some cases, the enemy just about disappears, leaving an illusion of easy conversion, to suddenly attack afterward as Cain. The birth of this child, the coming of the Messiah, was in prayers of all godly generations since man started the life of struggles and grief on this earth. Salvation has been the most urgent need of every human soul. Christ has been before the world, foretold in Genesis 3, and he came as a newborn child in the beginning of the gospel books. Verse 3, "This ugly, bloody dragon has 10 horns." My strong impression is that this dragon is the devil personally. It's not always easy to discern between Satan and his blind slaves in the chapters 13 and 17, since the evil one at times hides behind his victims in order to deceive the saved and the lost. And some of his slaves imitate their master. In the chapter 13, verse 1, a beast is rising from the sea. This beast also has seven heads, seven crowns, and ten horns. Later in this chapter 13, we see that this beast and the dragon are closely related, but not the same being. In the chapter 17, we see the same beast again. In the verse number 12, the ten horns are explained as ten kings. The ten horns on the dragon's heads are a mismatch with the seven crowned heads. If the horns are on the heads, we can imagine that three heads had a pair of horns each, and four heads had single horn each. Satan uses two strong influences to enslave men: false promises and horrifying threats. Usually, both are crafty lies. If our Lord prevents not the devil, Satan attacks men with cruelty beyond imagination, and he also lies to us that there is no value or purpose in our labor and suffering, that God has no concern for us. Our Lord Jesus teaches us, "I am with you always to the end of the world." I believe this includes time and location. Our God forgets not. Experiences of his faithful disciples testify to this gospel teaching. Our Savior and Lord is with us always, and he bears the burdens. He lifts us up when we stumble. He takes us in his arms when we are exhausted. He supplies endurance and courage. In suffering, Job and John received our God's revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, and Job chapter 42, verse 5. Through suffering, James entered into glory, and Peter was delivered to return to the young church, Acts 12, verses 1 through 11. Between the dragon's seven heads, there are clashes and rivalry, as if the devil hates his own body, Mark 5. His more powerful heads use both horns, false promises and scary threats. The weaker ones lie to attract victims and still crave power to keep them in bondage. Since Satan's power is in falsehood and he has no physical might in himself, I see his appearance as a monster, like a part of his strategy. It's a mirage of promises, threats, or both. He entices fools to fight for satisfaction of their satanic lusts. If he can enslave them, he will use them for his purpose, but only within the limits God has outlined. In the chapter 5, verse 6, we see the Lamb as the only one worthy to fulfill the entire desire of our Heavenly Father. The Lamb is visible with seven horns and seven eyes, signifying God's seven spirits active, powerful, and successful in the whole world. He is the Almighty and the All-Seeing, All-Knowing God the Son. Satan displays his ten horns. He is a murderer, a liar, and the father of lies. In him there is no righteousness and truth, John 8:44. He is a false god himself, and he instigates false divinities for the sin-blinded humanity for thousands of years. His lust is distorted gospel truth to magnify vanity and falsehood and stir up his slaves to persecute Christ's body on earth. The devil's great aim is to separate us from our gracious Lord. He is the greatest failure in the universe and cannot do the least evil away from the sight and knowledge of our Father. Satan can do nothing without our Lord's permission. Then, why our God allows this enemy to do such evil in the world and even to God's children? I'll share just one example, although the scriptures and our short lifetime experiences are numberless. In Acts 6, 7 and 8, there is the true story about Stephen, a greatly gifted brother in Christ, boldly witnessing to the opposition. Satan furiously attacked this voice of truth, and the slaves of sin and darkness had to hear more gospel teaching. They murdered Stephen to silence the gospel testimony in Jerusalem and Judea. The faithful martyr entered our Savior's glory. Many disciples were scattered to the other regions, preaching the good news of salvation in Christ, and our Lord plucked out of Satan's shackles a prominent murderer, Saul of Tarsus, to make him Christ's apostle. Satan failed again, and the good news exploded through the empire. Again, our Lord Emmanuel is victorious and glorified among the Gentiles in the hearts and lives of his disciples. When we suffer with Christ, we partake of our Lamb's glory. In his greatest success, the devil only captures his own, the victims that are foolish enough to believe him. Verse 4. The dragon's tail dragged the third part of the heavenly stars down to the earth. Here we are not given all the details. When and how he managed to do this great evil? This seems more like his basic description. Great red seven-headed dragon with seven crowns and 10 horns, and with a tail casting stars of heaven down to the earth. He managed to, quote, promote, close quote, the rebellious third of angels, degrading them into evil spirits, forever condemned, hateful, and tormented. He is deceiving sinful humanity, and continually he is defeated by our Savior's spirit. Satan would like his beasts, his fiercest slaves, to live many centuries, multiplying wickedness and persecuting Christ's faithful gospel witnesses. He is full of wrath because his time is short. His most efficient slaves are self-destructive, suicidal, and their time is very limited. They cannot be active a moment longer than our Father's appointed time for them. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15, the false prophet is the tail. Lucifer is the head prophet of falsehood. All the false prophets are his victims. His tail is destructive in one more aspect. The dragon threatens the child Jesus not yet born. But after the birth of the child, the enemy has no power over the newborn. Satan threatens with his 7 heads and 10 horns, but it is his tail that casts 1/3 of the stars down. Satan gains power when a sinner let him ignite sinful lust. Satan's 7 mouths speak great promises and glitter with their 7 crowns of fake gold. To all his deceived victims, the devil's lies appear like pure logic because their mind is intoxicated with the wine of evil wrath and fornication. Chapter 14, verse 8. The testimony in James 1, verse 15 must be fulfilled. Only our Savior can defeat the devil. Without Christ, our Savior and Lord, we are helpless, hopeless, and lifeless. In suffering and persecution, or in peaceful prosperity, in youthful vigor, or on the deathbed, in Christ we are blessed, we are victorious. We are on the way of life everlasting, the path of eternal glory of our crucified, resurrected, and glorified Lord Jesus Christ.